Blog Talk Radio.
Mr. Summer, we bless the little fool. Me a running out of blessings are running back. Me a dead, 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 dead. Imagine cause I'm tossing out the cup of our own.
I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed.
I'm a priest. Right now, man, you know, say me well blessed. Inna me life, a pure peace and happiness. Inna me face, man, you can't find no stress. Me love God, so no doubt me, I confess. Jesus Christ, I'm my Lord, I'm my Savior. Jesus Christ, Him is my Redeemer. Jesus Christ, Him is my Provider. Jesus Christ, Him is my Protector. Right now, I am close to one I'm dead. I'm the one I'm just to be disappointed. Right now, church, I'm just too blessed. Just too blessed to be blessed. I am too blessed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed.
Yo,
let me preach. Hey, let me wake up early this morning. Outside, no thunder and storming. But then me watch how God start performing. 5 minutes later.
Praise the Lord and welcome to Vision. This is Evangelist Faith Reed. Thank you for tuning in. We have been studying having faith in the midst of trouble, having faith in times of trouble. Our subtopic for tonight is Behind the Veil. Behind the Veil. Bow your head and let us pray. Father, we just give you glory, honor, and praise. We magnify your holy name. We thank you, Lord God, for this another opportunity, Lord, to be able to study the Word of God together. Lord, I thank you for all those that will hear this broadcast. I pray, O God, that you would bless them abundantly, O God, in their private lives as well as their public lives, O God. I pray that you will be glorified in everything that they do and everything that they say. We thank you, Lord, because you are truly awesome, O God, and we cannot begin to praise you enough. We don't have enough tongues to bless you enough, Lord, for all that you have done for us. We pray for nations, O God, everywhere in the north, south, east, and west. O God, where there's fighting, O God, we pray that you would truly help the people to put down their guns and turn their faces towards you, O God. Lord, we thank you for the mighty acts that you have done over the years. O God, and most of all, we just thank you for being our Lord, for being God, our Creator, Lord, our Daddy. We just thank you, Lord, for watching over us. And Lord Jesus, I pray, oh God, that everyone that listens will be blessed. Oh God, those that are sick, that they will be healed. Oh God, I speak a word, Lord God, to that one that is sick right now and command them to be healed in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord God, because you are a healer and a deliverer. And I thank you, Lord God, that you're touching someone right now. Father, you're speaking healing, oh God, and breathing healing over them right now. I thank you, Lord, for that special touch, God, in someone's life right now. And as we break bread together, we thank you for this time of fellowship tonight. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, dear friend, I'm so excited that you have joined me to study the Word of God again. Tonight, we're going to be looking at a couple of scriptures, 2 Chronicles chapter 5 and Hebrews chapter 10. I'm hoping that we can get to most of it tonight. I want to talk to you a little bit about the veil. The veil is mentioned several times in scripture. There are several different types of veils. One is a veil that a woman might use as a covering. Another is the veil, if you remembered when Moses came down from the mountain, the Bible says that his face shone so much that he had to cover it with a veil. And then the third veil, which is the one I'm going to be referring to tonight, is the veil that separated the inner court, the outer court, the holiest of holiest, because no one could go behind that veil except for the priest who went in to do sacrifice on behalf of the people. And so tonight I want to talk to you just a little bit and give you a little bit of background. I did go on Wikipedia online. It's a free encyclopedia. And I want to encourage you to use that online study and perhaps get yourself some books and what have you, but make it your business to study, because as you study, you will learn more and more about the things of God. And so if I could just give you a little foundation about the veil, the Ark of the Covenant, prior to reading the scripture. The book of Exodus chapters 36 through 40, tells the story about Moses. Right after the Exodus experience, the Bible tells us that God wanted the children of Israel to acknowledge his presence among them. And so what he did, he gave Moses clear instructions to build a tabernacle. Now, this tabernacle was long before Solomon, because Solomon's temple did not come until Second Chronicles chapter 5. And so we see that Exodus came way before that. So the instructions that were given to Moses in the books of Exodus 36 through 40, when he was given clear instructions about the tabernacle, the Bible tells us that, number one, he had to have the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant had to be placed inside of this tabernacle. And it had to have a gilt table for the showbread. And the showbread had, if you wanted to know what the showbread is, it's actually cakes or loaves that are placed on the dedication table. In addition, he had to have a golden menorah, or what we would call a lampstand of 7 oil lamps, and these had to be kept burning at all times. And then he had to have built a place for the ark. And this little place for the ark that they had to have within the tabernacle, it had a curtain roof, and the walls were made of wood with silver feet, and there was a purple curtain guarding the holies of holies. In addition to that, of course, there was a table and the candlestick, and then the outer curtain. Now, there was also a sacrificial altar made of bronze boards. In addition to that, there was an outer court which had pillars that were resting on bronze pedestals. And then last but not least, there were hooks with crossbars of silver with embroidered curtains, and God even gave him a recipe for the oil that they had to use to burn in those lamps. And so you see that Moses, if you go back and read the books of Exodus chapters 36 through 40, you will see all of this outline where Moses was given clear instructions about the Ark of the Covenant, about having the holiest of holiest inside of that tabernacle, because God wanted his presence known among the people. One of the things why he needed his presence known among the people is because the children of Israel tended to forget very easily. And I don't know about you, dear friend, whether you remember the things that God speaks to you easily or not, but the children of Israel forgot very often. And one of the things that actually had them forgetting was the fact that although they were told not to marry foreigners, every once in a while it still happened. And of course, whenever foreigners were introduced into the Israelite you know, tribal systems, there was always someone who turned that person away towards another god. And so the children of Israel had to be constantly reminded about who God was, or who God is, actually, and about the fact that his presence is with them, and his presence shall continually to be with them, as well as his presence is with us also. So Moses was given instructions to build the tabernacle, and this was before the temple was built, that the tabernacle was built, and there was a place called the Holies of Holies. And in addition to that, in 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verses 1 through 14, which I'm going to read, the Bible also talks about the Holiest of Holies, because the tabernacle was sort of temporary, but Solomon was instructed to build a permanent structure that they could actually look at, and it wasn't something that they were going to carry around, and this was called the temple. Now, the Holiest of Holies, as we refer to it, is actually also called the Most Holy Place, the Most Holy Place. And the veil itself that was covering that was made of blue, purple, and red, or sometimes the Bible will refer to it as scarlet, or even crimson. So blue, purple, red, or you could say crimson, or you could say scarlet. Whenever you see those words, it's referring to red. And so that was what the veil that was covering the Holiest of Holies was called. Now, I want you to understand, dear friend, that the high priest entered into the Holiest of Holies one time per year on the Day of Atonement. And this one time a year, the priest entered in to make sacrifice on behalf of the people. Now, the priest, when he entered, he offered a bull for himself and a goat for the people. Now, the thing for us to take note is that while he was in there, he also offered incense upon the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat. Now, if you recall clearly, inside the Ark of the Covenant had the Ten Commandments, Aaron's rod, and a pot of manna. They had a pot of manna to remind them that while they were walking around in the wilderness, that God fed them every day. God fed them manna every day from heaven. And so he wanted them to remember that while they were there wandering in the wilderness, that he took care of them. Isn't that a wonderful thing, dear friend, for us to remember that our help comes from God, for us to remember that that manna from above comes from God. And so if we want manna from above, we've got to sincerely seek God. We've got to sincerely pray and ask God to give us that manna from above. And so inside the Ark of the Covenant was Aaron's rod, a pot of manna to remind them to still seek God himself, and also those tablets of the covenant, which we refer to as the Ten Commandments. Now, we understand also that when the high priest went in, he had to be without blemish. He had to be without sin, because if he had any sin when he entered in to the Holiest of Holies, what would happen is that he would just drop dead. And so when the priest went in to offer offering, you know, on the altar before God, they had to put, a rope around his leg with some kind of bell to make sure that if he should fall out dead, they could just drag them out by the leg, because no one else could go in there, because they would also die as well. And so it was an interesting thing that the priest himself, in order to offer up sacrifice for the people, had to be free of sin. So the interesting thing also about what was going on at this time is that the animal sacrifice was brought in and it was sacrificed on the brazen altar, and the blood was carried into the holiest of holiest, and inside the holiest of holiest, in that area also were golden censers that were used, of course, for the incense. And so I want you to know that God himself prepared a place called the Holiest of Holy, or the Holy of Holiest, I should say. And this place was a place where the high priest went in to make offering on behalf of the people. Let's look at 2 Chronicles chapter 5, beginning at the first verse. The Bible says, thus all the work that Solomon made for the house of the Lord was finished. And Solomon brought in all the things that David his father had dedicated, and the silver and the gold and all the instruments, put he among the treasures of the house of God. Then Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes, the chief of the fathers of the children of Israel, unto Jerusalem to bring up the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of the city of David, which is Zion. Wherefore all the men of Israel assembled themselves unto the king in the feast which was in the seventh month. And all the elders of Israel came, and the Levites took up the ark. And they brought up the ark and the tabernacle of the congregation, and all the holy vessels that were in the tabernacle. These did the priests and the Levites bring up. Now, why were they bringing things up from the tabernacle? Because the tabernacle was a temporary structure that was used primarily to remind the people about the presence of God. And now Solomon had built a permanent structure. So look at verse 6. Also King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel that were assembled unto him before the ark sacrificed sheep and oxen, which could not be told nor numbered for multitude. And the priests brought in the ark of the covenant of the Lord unto his place, to the oracle of the house, into the most holy place, even under the wings of the cherubims. And for the cherubims spread forth their wings over the place of the ark, and the cherubims covered the ark and the staves thereof. And so I want to mention to you that on top of the Ark of the Covenant, there were cherubims also, you know, like little angels with their wings spread out towards each other. And they drew out the staves of the ark, and the ends of the staves were seen from the ark before the oracle, but they were not seen without. And there it is unto this day. So, you know, they had like little sticks that they held it when they carried it. There was nothing in the ark save the two tables which Moses put therein at Horeb when the Lord made a covenant with the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt. And it came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place, for all the priests that were present were sanctified and did that and did not then wait by curse. Also the Levites, which were the singers, all of them of Asaph, of Heman, of Judathan, with their sons and their brethren, being arrayed in white linen, having cymbals and psalters and harps, stood at the east end of the altar, and with them 120 priests sounding with trumpets. And so we see that just before they brought the ark in, that they sounded with trumpets. They sounded with trumpets. And they began to rejoice. They began to rejoice because of the fact that they were now about to get a permanent place to put the Ark of the Covenant. And so here they were making themselves merry. Look at verse 13. And it came even to pass, as the trumpeters and singers were as one to make one sound, to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and in instruments of music, and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. That then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priest could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. Now, I want you to note that in verse 10, it only tells you about the tablets, the Ten Commandments that were in the Ark of the Covenant, but I'm also going to put on this lesson, after we finish, another scripture that refers to the other items that were in the Ark that I've already mentioned. I just wanted to mention that to you because this only tells you about the Ten Commandments, but there's a couple other things that were actually in the Ark of the Covenant also, which are listed in another place. Verse 13 tells us that when they started praising and thanking God, that the place was filled with the presence of God. Now, the reason why I want you to take note of that is because we have a tendency in the midst of when something is not going right, we forget to praise God. But I want you to notice that after they began to praise God, then the presence of God came in. So there's something about opening up our mouths and praising God. It seems to summon the very ear of God. When we begin to praise him, we get his attention. When we begin to praise him, he is on alert, listening for that praise. And also, the Bible tells us that our praise is like a sweet-smelling savor before God. So in other words, God takes pleasure in the praises of his people. So dear friend, when you are faced with challenges, when you are faced with difficulties in your life, I want you to make it your business to just begin to praise God, just begin to sing, just begin to bless him, because as you bless him, you will see that when the praises go up, the blessings really do come down. And this really shows us this in 2 Chronicles 5, verse 13, that second half of it that we've been reading. The Bible says, when they began to praise the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever, then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord. And the Bible says it, the cloud came down so strong in the place that the priests couldn't even minister. You know, they couldn't even see to do what they were doing because the glory of God just came down in the place and filled the house. And I want you to know, dear friend, that whether you're at church or at your house, you know, because I have a little place that I set up as an altar whenever I feel led to go and kneel there. I want you to know that wherever you are, if you would just sincerely just begin to praise God, you know, that the presence of God can come down in your house. The presence of God can come down in your car. Wherever you are, the presence of God can come down. No, it does not mean that you should not still go to church with other people and worship with them. Yes, you should. But in addition to going to church, you should have such a relationship with God that wherever you are, you can begin worshiping and praising God, and the presence of God will just come down wherever you are and overwhelm you. You might not see a cloud in your house or a cloud in your car. You know, definitely I would not want you to have a cloud in your car because I would not want you to be hindered from driving your car. I would want you to be able to see where you're going. But the bottom line is that you can feel the presence of God when you begin to pray without it having to get cloudy around you. It just so happened that at this particular time, the glory cloud of God came down. And I've heard other people say that in their worship churches, services at their churches, that they too have experienced seeing the cloud of God come down. You know, the room would just become so foggy, you know, with the presence of God as they began to worship. And so I've heard other people talk about that cloud that comes down when they begin to worship. Because, as I've said before, God takes pleasure in our worship. And so as they dedicated that temple to God, that first temple to God, the Bible tells us that God was pleased. How do we know that he was pleased? Because he himself came down. His glory cloud came down and filled the place while the people were praising God. And so we see that God gave us clear instructions about the tabernacle, about building the temple. And they built the temple, brought over the Ark of the Covenant, and installed it. And, of course, we know that they put it behind the holiest of holiest. Wherein the place is the holiest of holiest, it was in the western part of the tabernacle. That's where it was. And so I'm pretty sure that when they installed it in the temple, that it was in a similar place in the temple. So we give God praise for that information. Turn your Bible with me again to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. And I wanted to talk to you about that veil that is separating the holy of holiest, that most holy place, with the outer court, and the fact that Jesus is our veil. Jesus is our veil. When the old covenant was in place, the people tried to please God as much as they could by following those clear instructions to build a tabernacle, then to build a temple, and to offer sacrifice. But when Jesus came and died on the cross, we no longer needed blood sacrifices from animals because Jesus himself became that sacrifice for us. And so let's take a look a little bit at Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. And if you hear me pausing just a little bit. Our weather has switched a little bit here in Florida today, and looks like my nose is stuffing on and off, but in any case, I give God praise to be able to study the Word of God with you. Hebrews chapter 10, Hebrews chapter 10, beginning at the first verse, "For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually made the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should not have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year." And so that refers back to what I said, that the high priest went once a year to make atonement for the sins of the people. Look at verse 4. "For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared for me." So Jesus himself, this is referring to Jesus, that God prepared him a body, allowed him to come down here in physical form to be that sin offering for us. Look at verse 6. "In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure." So in other words, when it was time to send Jesus to die on the cross for us, God did not take any more pleasure in those sacrificial lambs, because those sacrificial lambs and those bulls, they served their purpose. But now it was time for the people to look towards the ultimate sacrificial lamb, which was Jesus Christ himself. And so look at verse 7. "Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God." Above, when he said, "Sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law." Then said he, "Lo, I come to do thy will, O God." He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. Notice, the first was taken away so he can establish the second. So what was the first? The law under Moses. The law was written. It was our school teacher, but the law could not make them perfect. Where do we see that? We see that in the first few verses of chapter 10, where it talked about if it could, the sacrifice that the high priest was making each year for the people, if it could make them perfect, then they would not need to sacrifice year after year after year for the people. And so, look at verse 10 and 11. By the which will we are sanctified through the offerings of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. So we cannot go back to the old covenant, the old way of doing things. And there's a group that are going through right now and trying to get people to go back to the old covenant, to practice the old things, and it's impossible. Jesus has already been our sacrifice for sins once and for all, and we do not need to go back to sacrificing or what have you, because we don't need to kill animals anymore. For our sins, Jesus Christ is our sin offering once and for all. Look at verse 12. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Jesus gave his body for us on the cross, and then afterwards he sat down on the right hand of God. From henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he had perfected forever them that are sanctified. So we are sanctified through the blood, the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 15. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, for after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. So, the Holy Spirit, if you go back to John chapter 14, Acts chapter 2, and many more scriptures, the Holy Spirit is a witness of the fact that Jesus is who he says that he is. And the Holy Spirit allows us to be able to write these laws in our hearts. Why? Because he's the one who draws us to Christ, and he is the one who speaks to us. He's the one that brings things to our remembrance. And so we're so thankful for that witness of the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 17. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. The moment, dear friend, that you ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins, he does. And God says that he will remember your sins no more. Now, I'm getting someplace because I told you that our topic tonight is behind the veil. Look at verse 17. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Verse 18. Now, where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. So, the remission where Jesus Christ has already shed his blood on Calvary for us, there is no longer a need for someone to make a physical offering on the altar for us. And so let's look at the key verses that I want to emphasize tonight and close out this particular lesson with. Verse 19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he had consecrated for us, through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. How do I currently get behind that veil? The temple in Jerusalem is no longer standing. There is no way to go into the temple to get into the holiest of holiest. For the Bible also tells us in, I believe, Matthew 27, verse 51, that the temple was rent in two, and there's several more scriptures that say the same thing if you look in the Gospels. But the temple was rent in two, meaning that it split. The temple split right down the middle, right open, when Jesus was sacrificed on the altar. It was a clue. It was a clue to let the children of Israel know that Jesus did come to fulfill that promise of the Messiah coming to come and to free them. They thought that he was coming to free them from the Roman government, but what he was coming to do was to free them forever from their sins, so that if anyone would accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, they could have eternal life. They could be forgiven of their sins, and that they could have eternal life with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we see where the Bible says behind the veil. What it says, well, actually what it says is that, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, that Jesus himself, his flesh, is our veil. So Jesus himself allowed us to enter into the holiest of holiest. So when we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we're going behind the veil. Amen. When we praise the Lord Jesus Christ, we're entering in behind the veil. Because Jesus himself, this verse says that his flesh is our veil. He himself is our covering. Jesus is that covering that we need. Jesus is that person that we need to give us freedom from sin. Look at verse 21. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw nigh near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. So we see that Jesus is that new and the living way. We don't have to, you know, be under the law anymore. We don't have to sacrifice animals because Jesus is our sacrifice. We see that the Bible refers to the veil as his flesh. And so we see that I mentioned to you the different types of veils at the beginning of this lesson, but now we come to the ultimate veil. The ultimate veil is Jesus. He shed his blood on Calvary for us. And the Bible refers to him as the high priest. Now he is over us. He is over us. And in verse 22, it says, now, because we know that Jesus is over us, we should draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. What does the word assurance mean? Assurance means promise. It means that we are at peace. We are resting because we know that what we have believed God for will come to pass. We are trusting God. We have that assurance, full assurance of faith. Of faith. What is faith? Hebrews 11 verse 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So we know that God gives us full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. An evil conscience. So we understand that when we were outside of that covering of Jesus Christ, our conscience was evil. But once we allow Jesus to forgive us of our sins and we allow him to come into our hearts, then our conscience is no longer evil because Jesus has now given us a clear conscience. And it says, and our bodies washed with pure water. With pure water. And of course, we know that the early church did baptize. Let's look at verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promise. Notice that the church, the people of God, were being encouraged to stand, to continue holding on, to continue being encouraged, to be continuously convicted in what you believe, to continuously follow after Jesus. Hold fast means don't let go of your faith in Jesus. Don't let go of the promises of God. Don't let go of your assurance that Jesus is real. Don't let go of your assurance that he is who he said that he is. He is the Son of God. He is that counselor, that wonderful counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty God. Jesus is who he says that he is. So don't let go of your faith. It does not matter what kind of difficulty you might face this coming year or tomorrow or what have you. It does not matter what you are challenged with. Stand firm in your faith. Trust God with your life and understand that if you would not waver, if you would not waver, that God is still true and that he never ever breaks a promise and that what he has promised to give to you will happen. In other words, when we pray, the Bible says when we pray, we should not ask amiss. In other words, we should focus on what is going to be pleasing to God. What is going to be pleasing to God? You know, sometimes we have a tendency to ask our supervisors, our bosses, well, what pleases you? What would you like for me to do to assist you? Well, I want you to know that God wants to help you. He wants to please you. But first and foremost, you've got to surrender your heart and your life to him so that he can see that you are standing firm on your faith without wavering. Wavering means moving. Don't shuffle back and forth. If you've ever gone out on a boat, you will notice that a boat will you know, drift back and forth on the waves. Well, don't be like that. Don't be like a boat that is on water, that is uncertain. Make sure that your commitment to Jesus is real, that your commitment to God is real, that you're not coming to church with the wrong intentions, but that your heart is truly pure and open to the things of God, and that you are not being showing hypocrisy in your faith, but that you are sincere in your praise to God. Look at verse 24, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. One of the challenging things about the modern church is that we are too busy for each other. We are too busy to encourage each other. We are too busy to spend time with one another. And so the scripture has to remind us to provoke one another unto good works, love and good works. Love and good works. Why? Because we tend to get too busy to do good works. We tend to get too busy to show love to people. There are so many people out there that would love for someone to tell them that God loves them, God cares about them. You know, I was standing outside of a business the other day, and someone came by. It was a young man, too, came by with tracts, and he said, you know, while you're waiting, here's something for you to read. And he gave us all tracts, and, you know, he gave me a Spanish one, and, of course, it's still on my desk. I can read some Spanish, but I need to sit down and really read it so I could translate it. But I was just really impressed because it reminded me of what I used to do so much of when I just became a Christian. And it was a reminder to me that I needed to go back to doing my tracts and what have you. And so I need to either write a tract or find a company where I can get some tracts from, because it really reminded me of where I started and the fact that God does not want us to start and then stop, but whatever we start for him, we've got to continue. And so if we start out preaching and teaching and witnessing to people around us, we need to continue, because God wants us to stand fast in our faith, to not waver, to not bounce from here to there and everywhere, but understand that we need to be stable and mature Christians and understand that Jesus is our veil, and that when we acknowledge him as Lord of our lives, we are actually getting behind the veil. We're actually able to enter in. We have access to that most holy place. Oh, I feel the presence of God. Verse 25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. So, what day approaching? Well, it could be referring to the church day approaching, that we are to encourage people to go to church. And it could also be referring to the coming of the Son of God, because we know that he is soon to appear. And so as we see that we are drawing closer and closer to the coming of the Son of God, to the coming of Jesus, that second coming of Jesus, we must encourage people to serve God. We must encourage them to hold on. We must encourage them to stand still and see the salvation of our God. Don't be discouraged, dear friend. Don't give up. But understand this, that God loves you very much. He cares about your family, and he has great things in store for you. I want you to understand that Jesus is that veil. When you begin to worship Jesus, you feel his presence surrounding you. You feel his might and his strength. And I want you to know, dear friend, that if you would just take time right now and just begin to pray, just begin to cry out to God, just begin to allow his presence to fill the room right now, to feel where you are right now, I want you to know that God wants you to feel his presence. He wants you to know that he is God. He wants you to know how much he loves you. He wants you to know that he cares about your family. He cares about the innermost thoughts that you have. Jesus is your veil. He shed his blood on Calvary so he could allow you access into that most holy place where you can pray, where you can seek God, where you can feel the love of God surrounding you, permeating your mind, permeating your heart, where you could feel the love of God just embracing you. When you feel like you need a hug, you just need somebody, you know, just to put their loving arms around you. I want you to know that God is able to do that. He is able to fill you with such peace and such joy that you will look around, you know, like I did when I was first praying about being filled with the Holy Spirit. I prayed so long that day that I literally felt the presence of God so strong in the room that I felt like I had people in the room with me, and I actually opened up my eyes just to look around to assure myself that I was alone, because I really felt the tangible presence of God in the room with me. And I want you to know, dear friend, that if you would just begin to pray and begin to seek God more, you will feel the tangible presence of God in the room with you. You will feel his presence. And I'm not saying to you that Christianity is just a feeling. I'm saying to you that if you would ask Jesus to come into your heart, forgive you, and ask him to forgive you of your sins, and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that the end result will be that after you repent, after you become truly sorry of your sins and you ask him to forgive you, that the end result is that, yes, you will be able to feel the presence of God. You will know that he is with you. You will have that assurance in your heart that yes, he has forgiven you, and that when you leave this world, whenever your appointment is with God, when it is time for you to close your eyes and leave this world, that you will have that assurance in your heart that you have a place in heaven with God. Dear friend, don't let this moment pass you by. Don't let this day pass you by, because Jesus is calling you. Surrender your life completely to him. And if he is calling you into a particular ministry, don't hesitate, dear friend. Do what God is calling you to do. We really need laborers in the field. The harvest is truly plenteous, but the laborers are few. Dear friend, don't forget your neighbor. Don't forget the people down the street. Don't forget the people in the grocery store, at the bank, or wherever you are on the job. Don't forget that there's always someone around you that needs an encouraging word. Make it your business to smile. I was coming out the grocery store on tonight, and I was putting my carriage away, not where it really supposed to go, but I didn't want to walk that far, and so I put it, you know, in a safe place where I knew it would not be bumping into anyone else's car. And I just looked over at another vehicle, and this senior lady, she smiled at me. She gave me a very, very big smile. And I just want you to know, dear friend, that at the end of my day, when I was extremely tired and getting ready to come home and to do this broadcast and then to go to bed, I appreciated the smile of that lady. It brightened up my evening just to see someone smiling at me. You know, and I've tried to encourage myself to smile at people. If I happen to look at someone, look in their direction, I've been making it, you know, a habit to smile at them. And so I want you to know, dear friend, that your word will encourage someone. Your smile will encourage someone. And so don't be afraid to smile at someone or to say something kind to someone during this holiday season. God wants you to know how much he loves you, how much he cares about you. And as you allow God to come in, I want you to also encourage someone else during this season. Look at your verse, your key verse, Romans chapter 10, Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Unto salvation. I want you to pray this prayer. Dear Lord, I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart. I realize that I'm a sinner. I've sinned against you. And right now, Jesus, I confess my sins to you. I recognize you as the Son of God. And I recognize that you died on the cross and rose from the dead. And I ask you, Jesus, to forgive me of my sins right now. Come into my heart. Save me. And I thank you for doing it right now. Dear friend, if you said those words, I pray that you were sincere, and I pray that you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And now I'm going to pray with you after reading our thoughts for today. Our thoughts are, persistence is the key. Smile anyhow. Don't give up. There is no such thing as can't, and what you believe you can achieve. I'm going to say it one more time. Persistence is the key. Smile anyhow. Don't give up. There is no such thing as can't, and what you believe, you can achieve. Dear friend, let us pray. Dear Lord, I just give you praise, glory, and honor. I thank you, Lord God, for this privilege, Lord, to be able to study the Word of God with so many people. I thank you, dear Lord, for your touch right now. I thank you, dear Lord, for helping us to be encouraged through difficult times. I pray, dear Lord, that you would truly touch all those that are sick right now, Father, oh God, those that have colds, those that have the flu, Father God, those that are truly suffering with all kinds of upper respiratory ailments right now, I pray that you would truly heal their bodies. I pray that you would touch right now. God, we speak to that one, Lord God, that is suffering with migraine headaches right now. Lord, I speak directly to that headache right now. Father, I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that you are healing even now. Oh, God, that you're touching that one that is suffering with depression. They've been suffering for several weeks now. Lord, I thank you that you're healing that person of depression right now. You're delivering them, and that depression is lifting up off of them right now. I thank you, dear Lord, for that one, Lord, that was suffering with some kind of cranial problems, oh, God. Father, oh God, I pray that you would truly touch, and that goes right along with their migraines, but it's some kind of different diagnosis that they were given. I pray, oh God, that you would heal them right now in the name of Jesus. I thank you right now for that one, God, that is having problems with discs in their back, in their vertebrae right now, and their back was broken in a couple of places. I thank you, O God, that you are healing that one right now. I give you praise, glory, and honor, O God, for complete healing, O God, of mind, body, O God, of emotions right now. I thank you, Lord God, for that one, Lord God, struggling with that mortgage. Lord God, I pray, Lord God, that you would touch in the name of Jesus. God, we thank you, Lord God, that you're stopping foreclosure right now in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord God, that you're moving in a special way right now. Oh, God, for that family that's in need right now of shelter, oh, God, food in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, we just give you glory and honor and praise. We thank you, Lord God, that you're remembering that one, oh, God, in that persecuted country right now, Christians that are being persecuted, oh, God. Lord, we thank you for those in the underground churches, oh, God, that are having to worship in secret, but, God, they're worshiping nonetheless. We pray your protection upon them in the name of Jesus. We pray, oh, God, for Christians all over the world, oh, God, that you would protect them and keep them. Oh, God, and we pray for those that are not yet Christian, God, that they would come to know you as their Lord and Savior. Father, oh, God, remember the nations, oh, God, north, east, south, and west, oh, God. Father, oh, God, in the Muslim nations, oh, God, we pray, oh, God, for the Middle East, oh, God, our soldiers over there in the Middle East, protect them, Lord Jesus. Lord God, we pray, Lord God, for England, oh, Father, oh, God, Europe that's in financial crisis, oh, God, the United States that's in financial crisis. Oh, God, we know that you're able, oh, God. Remember the African nations, oh, God, over in India and several other places, oh, God, around the world, Father, in Japan. Father, oh, God, I know that you're able, oh, God, to reach nations, Father, near and far. Father, touch right now, oh, God, in Australia. Father, oh, God, in Russia. Oh, Antarctica. Oh, God, we pray that you would touch right now in the Netherlands right now, in New Zealand right now, in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, over in Ireland and Scotland, in the name of Jesus. We know, God, that you're able to touch. Move in a special way, God, and we thank you because we know that you're a way maker, oh, God. You're healing right now. You're delivering right now. Father, and we thank you for doing it. Remember those that are listening right now. We pray that you would bless them. And, Father, we say thanks to you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Dear friend, I thank you so much for studying with me. I thank you so much for praying with me. And right now, I want you to listen to this song because we know that God is truly good. And that if we would just hold on a little while longer, we know that truly God is truly worthy to be praised. And I just want you to listen and just hold on a little while longer as we give God praise.
gonna praise him. If them beat me till me black and blue, still I go praise him. Boot heel for pass me down no glue. Be a foot I go praise him. No cheating on me multitude. After praise him, we should praise God. When are we weak and we should praise him. When are we strong, we must praise him. And at the dance and lift him up in our song. Give him glory in our characters. His name in our band. We can't do it when we're dead, so we have to do it while we can. So I will praise you with all of my heart.
Man, you can't find no stress. Me love God, so no doubt me, I confess. Jesus Christ, I'm my Lord, I'm my Savior. Jesus Christ, Him is my Redeemer. Jesus Christ, Him is my Provider. Jesus Christ, Him is my Protector. Right, I know I am just the one I'm dead. I'm the one I'm to be disappointed. Right, I know church, I'm just to bless.